Sometimes the most important skills are forced upon you by other people. The first time I worked with Jennifer Tipton, the lighting designer, was on my very first ballet in 1965, Tank Dive. There was a moment in the piece when I told her, "Jenny, at this point you will turn off the lights so I can exit." "No, I won't," she said. "Get yourself off stage." I loved her attitude. From then on, I never counted on lighting to do my job for me. It forced me to confront and learn one of the most difficult skills in stage directing, how to get performers on and off the stage. This is not just an issue for directors and choreographers. The novelist John Gregory Dunne, explaining the difficulties of writing novels, says, "Because one has written other books does not mean the next becomes any easier. Each book is, in fact, a tabula rasa. From book to book, I seem to forget how to get characters in and out of rooms, a far more difficult task than the non-writer might think." Yogi Berra once said that for Christmas he told his father, "I want a baseball bat, a glove, and a ball." His father said, "Which one of the three do you want?" As a good parent, he was saying, "I can't give you everything, but if you're really serious about baseball, you'll figure out how to get the other two." That's a powerful lesson. Learn to do for yourself. It's the only way to broaden your skills. Odd as it may sound, personality is a skill. You can choose and develop aspects of it that will draw people to you and make them want to help you learn and improve. When I was playing hooky from college and running every day to a Manhattan dance studio near Carnegie Hall to take classes, Margot Fonteyn came into the dressing room one day wearing a mink coat with all the accoutrements of the grand dame that she was. This was unheard of in the dancing world, as far as I knew. No one was that rich. She looked like an opera star. But then she took out this simple wardrobe, a pair of pink tights, and a black leotard. And that was all she wore. She went into the studio and worked in the back. The instructor would always make a point of inviting her to the front, and we would all back off as if to say, "This is your room." But she would never move forward. One of her skills, and a great deal of her charm, was this built-in sense of humility. The greatest dancers have that, I learned. One dancer I know insists her greatest skill is a talent for seduction. She told me that she grew up with a Siamese cat and a Great Dane, and she spent hours watching the cat gain control over the vastly larger dog. It was a life lesson in seduction, and she brings that skill with her every time she takes the stage. At auditions, I find I can size up a dancer and determine if he's right for my company or project by the way he comes in the door and puts his bag down. That, and asking him to come forward and move into fifth position, will tell me all I need to know about his training, his attitude, his propriety and modesty, even his charisma. If he has the skill, there's no hiding it. Without skill, there is no confidence. You cannot fake it. Confidence is a trait that has to be earned honestly and refreshed constantly. You have to work as hard to protect your skills as you did to develop them. This means vigilant practice and excellent practice habits. You've heard the phrase, "practice makes perfect"? Not true. Perfect practice makes perfect. The one thing that creative souls around the world have in common is that they all have to practice to maintain their skills. Art is a vast democracy of habit. All dancers lead the same life. The lowliest core member and the megastar still have to go to the same class at 10 a.m. to stay in shape. Painters still have to prepare their own paints. Soloists spend hours at their instruments before they rehearse with the orchestra. These habits don't disappear when you become recognized, honored, rich, famous, and otherwise validated. In fact, though everyone is free to practice as much as they want, It's the most acclaimed and skilled people who work the hardest to maintain those skills. The greatest musical virtuosos spend more hours a day practicing than do the members of an orchestra. Mikhail Baryshnikov was always the hardest working student at the Kirov School. His teacher Pushkin singled him out for his abilities and made him continue working after everyone went home for the day. He maintained that ethic of working harder than anyone else 20 years later, when he was the most admired dancer in the world. It's the same in sports. The greatest and highest paid athletes, like Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan, practice harder, longer, and better than their rivals. Moreover, they extend that discipline to the most basic elements of their craft. Prima ballerinas work as diligently and carefully at the bar as any novice. Actually, they work more diligently on basics that lesser dancers might consider beneath them. The great ones never take fundamentals for granted. You may wonder which came first, the skill or the hard work. But that's a moot point. The Zen master cleans his own studio. So should you. The real issue is conditioning. It's an obvious concern for a dancer who won't return to the studio after 2 weeks away with the same physical coordination and stamina as when he left. It's not as obvious for a concert pianist. Yet I don't know any virtuoso who would take the stage without weeks of preparation and practice. It's the only way to be sharp, even if the performer is the only one in the hall who hears the difference. And a surgeon once told me that he notices if one of his scrub nurses has been off for a week, he can see a fraction of a second difference in the way she reacts to his requests at the operating table. He detects the same lack of acute skill in himself if he has been on vacation for a week or two. It might not be obvious to his colleagues, but he knows it. It takes him a day or two to lose the rustiness. Practice without purpose, however, is nothing more than exercise. Too many people practice what they're already good at and neglect the skills that need more work. It's pleasant to repeat the things we do well, while it's frustrating to deal with repeated failure. I see this all the time with dancers. If they have great leg extension but deficient arms, they will spend more time working on leg extension because the effort is rewarding. It looks good and feels good, and less time on their arms. Common sense should tell them the process